This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Jack Wright as we look ahead to a midweek slate in the championship. We're recording this on Monday, fresh off a weekend of action and into a Tuesday or Wednesday fixture list we go. Jack, how are you doing?
Fresh, you can speak for yourself, George.
A few wines?
It's all action, isn't it? It's all go. It's like full on all over the weekend and then straight into it. So watched as much as we could over the weekend, dug into the stats as much as we can. And now here we go again. More picks and a full docket in the championship, at least.
Yeah. Regular listeners or viewers to the show will know that we normally do three picks each from the championship and then one in League One and one in League Two between us. But there is no League One, League Two really this midweek. So we are just focusing on the championship with three picks each. So a slightly shorter show this time around. And I've got an apology to make, an admission to make. I don't know what it is. I didn't do very well last week. I was 0-4, four losers for me. I mean, hard luck stories, maybe. I put up Sheffield United -1, which looked good when they were 2-0 down. 2-0 up, I should say, yeah. But they drew the game 3-0. Had Stevenage, who went 1-0 up and then drew the game 1-0. Brandon Thomas Asante to score. He had three shots. They won the game 2-0, but he didn't score. So disappointing. Luckily, you bailed us out with a couple of winners. And that means if you're looking at the overall league table, I can show you if I can here where, yes, there you go. You can see that the league guys also didn't have a great week, but plenty of others over the network did. The EPL, the Premier League guys, smashing it. If only I knew one of those guys. I don't know who they
are.
Who are
them EPL fellas?
I don't know anything about them. I've heard that they're quite sharp, but not the greatest lads. No, of course, Jack and Nigel doing a great job with the Premier League. And it's upsetting for me as an EFL purist to see the English Premier League sitting above the EFL. And I don't care what you say, Jack, you are EFL till you die. So you need to help us get back above them.
I think if we look back to the last recording, you'll see that I admit I am EFL through and through.
Season,
if we were claiming a tie with League Earn last time, we're now 0.01 behind EPL. That's got to be done. We round that up, don't we? 4.8 apiece.
It's not good enough.
So, oh, fine. Okay.
As it stands at the moment, we'd be in the playoffs. So we need to sort that out. So there we are at the moment. Plenty of guys doing good stuff. And I've got no doubt those towards the bottom end of the table will turn their form around fairly soon because smart guys all around. But time to look at this weekend. This midweek, Jack. And I'll let you take us away with your first pick.
Okay. As I'm detecting you've got a little bit of a Monday grump on, George. So I will go first. I'll let you shake that off. Right. Let's start with Swansea versus Reading. Talking of grumpy, this is one of the ones that obviously let us down or me down at the weekend where I put Swansea forward. And they were awful. I watched the game. They were very, really disappointing. Away at Burnley. And to be honest, they started off quite well. They had the best of probably the opening 10 or 12 minutes and then conceded on 15 minutes and then just completely fell apart. Nathan Teller was outstanding for Burnley and was electric, to be fair. Scared the life out of him every time they had the ball. And it must have. I haven't got a foul count on him, but it would have been very high. And poor Ben Cabango was seeing stars very quickly. Could have been booked about four times before he finally was. It was one of those afternoons and Russell Martin himself said that it was their worst performance of the season or their worst day of the season. And I think they were glad to pack that one off and put it behind them. And obviously the nature of the championship means they get a chance to bounce back very, very quickly. I think they've got a good chance here. It's obviously our good friends Reading are the opponents. And Swansea go into this, let's not forget, 1-4 on the bounce, prior to that game at Burnley. And as we pointed out, we know Burnley are one of our strong sides, ones we put up at the start of the season. So it's no disgrace to go there and lose, although they did, say, fall apart a bit and we were expecting a little bit more from them. Frustration got the better of Joel Perreault, who got sent off towards the end of that game. And I think I've seen a few people going, well, that's going to be a massive blow for Swansea. He's out for a few games now. But of course, would they rather have him in the side? Yes, they would. But looking at the positives, I did have a quick check through to see. Obviously, his last goal was against Hull. Since then, they'd scored 7 goals from different players and won 3 games. So they can do it without him. It's not one of those. Then it's certainly not a one-man team. Michael Omafebe, obviously up there, is impressed. I think probably the biggest miss at the weekend was Manning out on the left-hand side. So hopefully, I know he picked up a knock in training. I haven't seen anything today on that, whether he's fit or not, or definitely out. But hopefully he can come back, because if he's available for that, that would certainly be a big, big boost. But look, they're up against a Reading side that they lost themselves, obviously, at the weekend. You touched on West Brom's victory. That was at Reading. And for a side that are stronger at home, Reading have picked up more points than anyone else in the league at home this season. Obviously, it's going to be disappointing for them to have dropped points there. Going away from home, there's 4 defeats from 6 on the road. So they're not the strongest there. They put up a fair effort, I think, against West Brom. They had plenty of shots, but just lacked that bit of cutting edge. And I certainly think that Swansea will be preferring that direct ball into Andy Carroll rather than what they were facing against Burnley. I think they'll cope with that a lot better. And of course, being Swansea, they will keep a lot of ball, and I expect them to cause Reading plenty of problems, and so especially with Reading not being the best on the road. 1 point from the last 3 games as well for Reading as well. So not the best run of form. And, you know, is this the point where we've said before, and we've joked about it, but we've said before, will they start to kind of fulfill those prophecies that we've talked about and also kind of fit more back into the data that they've been putting forward? And we'll see. But I'm certainly prepared to take Swansea here. I thought they were a nice price. Paul Ince was missing in the dugout for Reading at the weekend. Obviously, he's quite a key figure there. So interesting to see if he's recovered in time to make the trip to Wales. But I'm taking Swansea, straight win at minus 108. I thought that price was pretty nice for a side that has been in good form just until the weekend.
Yeah, my first pick is another team you mentioned who are in good form. I'm backing Stoke to beat Rotherham, and backing them to do so minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap, because I wanted to get into some plus money. So plus 123 the price for this one. A few reasons for this. Rotherham got a really important win in an early kickoff on Saturday under their new manager, Matt Taylor. They beat fellow strugglers, but that would be a bit harsh on Rotherham, who started the season very well. Fellow relegation candidates, fellow team in the top end of the market for relegation in Huddersfield, and they beat them 2-1, which was a really important win. Mm. But it's been the case for much of the season that their good results have come at home. You know, they've played the majority of their games at home. They've played 8 games at home. They've only lost 1 of them. They've won 4 of them. So it's natural to see that they are a much better home form, a home team than an away team, because they've played 5 games on the road this season. They've drawn 3 and lost 2. So you can see there they are a proper Jekyll and Hyde team. That, you know, their home performances and their away performances, their home results and their away results. And they come up against a Stoke team who've really hit form in quite a weird way, to be honest. You know, Alex Neil is a manager I've got immense respect for, and I had no doubt that he would get Stoke to where he wanted them to be. But it seems to have almost happened overnight. They were very poor when he first came in. They were dismantled against Reading. They were battered midweek 10 days or so ago against Burnley. And it was still 1-0 when they scored an 87th minute equaliser. And that goal seems to have triggered something in them that means we're now seeing a very, very different Stoke team. They beat Sheffield United, the team who were then top of the Championship, 3-1. And they were completely deserving of that 3-1 win then. And then on the weekend, it was a very, very casual, comfy, cozy 2-0 away win at Preston. And I think we're starting to see Alex Neil's message getting across to the players. We're seeing individuals like Tyrese Campbell, who scored a great second goal. Will Smallbone, who scored the first goal. Key attacking players playing much better, and a solid defensive unit as well. I like the fact that we've seen them play 2 teams that I think are much better than Rotherham away. I'm not going to say they're better than Rotherham at home, but Rotherham away. And they've beaten them both minus 1 on the handicap with a 3-1 win and a 2-0 win. Alex Neil is an attacking manager by nature, so he's not someone who looks to sit on leads. He will encourage his team to continue to attack. And because they've got good players coming off the bench and very a fairly bloated squad, but certainly some good strength to come off the bench as well. I see no reason why they wouldn't press on. So, yeah, I mean, the good thing with the minus 0.75 is if they only win by a solitary goal, we only lose half our stake. But if they can go ahead and win by two goals or more, then of course it's a full winner. And they are rightly favourites for this game. It's no surprise to see them there, but I do think their dominance could translate into a fairly cosy win. And also important to point out as well that in their five games so far, Rotherham on the road have only scored one goal, which would mean that Stoke scoring just twice should cover the handicap if they continue that. And also the two games they lost them both 3-0. So a repeat defeat like that, it's kind of showing, I guess, when Rotherham have to cut loose when behind, they leave themselves open on the break as well. So plenty of reasons in my mind to side with Stoke. And that is my first selection. Mm. Over to you for number two.
Yeah, I'll come on to that. I'll just quickly say that I've been refreshing frantically to try and get a market, as you know, George, all day, and it hasn't been up. But I just looked before we came and recorded this, and the Stoke Corners line, the infamous Stoke Corners line, has now gone live. So it would have been a play. It's not an official one, but Stoke over 5.5 corners at minus 114 is nice. Certainly one I'm playing personally. And obviously is one of the ones that copped for us at the weekend at plus money when they got six again. We went through them stats, didn't we? And it was 6-6, 6-6-6. And another six again. Yeah, so I expect that. So all good there. But lovely. My next official pick is West Brom versus Bristol City. We left them out for a week. We couldn't do it any longer. So they're back. Bristol City are back on the show. And I'm going, unsurprisingly, with over 2.5 goals here at minus 134. They're away at West Brom. And boing, boing, the new manager bounced, George.
Mm. Mm. Boing, boing. That famous new manager bounce, scientifically proven.
Indeed so. Your favourite. So Richard Beale, the man in charge at the weekend. Or was it Rich Beale?
Dick Beale.
Yeah,
Dick Beale.
He's going to keep it. He's going to keep
Mick
it.
Mick and Dick. Yeah, the Beals.
I know. It should be, shouldn't it?
Anyone who hasn't listened to this pod before is going to have no idea what we're talking about.
No, well, I'll move on.
Let's keep it that way. Yeah.
So, look, I think it was, you've said it, I've agreed with you. It was one of those things that was going to happen. Like, all the processes that West Brom were doing, they're playing really well, creating lots of chances, fantastic players, goal scorers amongst them, that just wasn't happening. And it was as if that Steve Bruce had broken like 100 mirrors and it was just never going to work for him until he left. And sure enough, first game back after his departure, and it is a win and a good one as well at Reading. So second league win of the season, first in 10 out of the relegation zone. Things couldn't be any brighter, could they? So no massive changes there. I looked for it. Did he tweak too much? Not really. Kind of the same formation as the previous game. Like a little bit of kind of personnel change, but not much at all, to be honest. So, and so they've got those forward players in Wallace and Asante Thomas and a lad called Dean Garner, which we might come on to later, I think, possibly. all fantastic players in forward areas, creating plenty. And so finally managed to score a couple as well. Although, albeit from unlikely sources, probably at the weekend. So they've kept their powder dry, those players, to come to the party here. They've got a very good record at home against Bristol City. I said we are looking at goals here, but I said that my main thought process here is that West Brom could well have a bit of a field day against this Bristol City defence, which is extremely leaky. So I have gone the over 2.5 goals, as said, at minus 134, rather than both teams to score anything like that, because I think West Brom could run away with this one, possibly. But we do know Bristol City carry a threat in forward areas as well. So Bristol City have now slid down the table, and it's 5 defeats in the last 7 for them. Losing at Millwall at home is not a great result, considering we know Millwall aren't the strongest side when travelling. So 2 more soft goals conceded. Nigel Pearson continues to moan about the defending and the fact that they are throwing goals away left, right and centre. He's been there long enough now to probably have changed that. And it just doesn't seem to be happening. So we should expect more of the same. 24 goals conceded. Only Huller conceded more. But as we said, 23 goals scored. Only the top 2 have scored more. So it does point towards goals. 10 of 15 Bristol City games have seen over 2.5 goals so far this season, which is a league high. And 6 of their 7 away games have seen over 2.5 goals. So it's a confident call. There's a lot of attack and talent on display. And I'd imagine the Hawthorns will be bouncing. Obviously, we know that Steve Bruce wasn't a popular figure there. First home game since his departure on the back of a win as well. So it's got the makings of goals. So happy to take it.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to stick with this game for my second pick. It is the goal scorer pick. As I say, sticking with West Brom, I got it right about the... I mean, I'm calling it pure variance, basically. They've missed so many chances this season. And it was inevitable that as soon as Steve Bruce left, suddenly a long-range shot from Gardner Hittman goes in. Matt Phillips scores an angled shot into the far corner. And I agree. I think Bristol City's defence looks to be not in a good place. And I think West Brom will probably continue to score goals fairly regularly. So it was a pure price play. I mean, I literally didn't. It wasn't a case of who do I think is going to score for West Brom. It was go to the Bet Rivers site, go to goal scorers for West Brom and have a look at the prices. And you've got Colin Grant is the favourite at +133. Not interested, not going to play. John Swift +155. Playing in a more withdrawn role, not for me. Brandon Thomas Asante +175. Maybe appealing, but still much shorter than what we backed him at last week. And, you know, he will play up front. So Hall +175 won't play. Jed Wallace playing on the right-hand side of the three, +195. Didn't have a shot on Saturday. Phillips playing in a deeper role, +235. And then you get to Deanne Garner, who is basically the same price as Tom Rogic, who, you know, whilst... you know, he's only recently come to the club. He's yet to score for them. And then Keane Bryan, who's a centre-back, is only a bit bigger. And Deanne Garner will start on the left-hand side of a front three. He did against Reading. And I think he's like two again here, even though he came off after 65 minutes. He's a player who's really struggled for form in the last couple of years. But when he first came on loan to West Brom in the promotion season under Slaven Bilic, he scored 8 goals in 30 games. He had a chance... which he missed on Saturday. And basically, when he's at his best, he's not really a winger who's going to play wide and look to get chalk on his boots and get balls into the box. He's a quite a direct attacking goal threat. And the price that he is compared to his teammates is, in my opinion, totally wrong. He should be far, far shorter. He should be probably a little bit bigger than Jed Wallace is, given they're basically playing the same role. And with Jed's, you know, if you look at Jed Wallace's past and you look at the goal scoring records of the players that play the opposite wing to him, they're very good because Jed is very, very good himself of getting, you know, using his pace to get in behind and putting the ball into the back post. So, I think Deanne Garner is a huge price at +350 in a game where I agree with everything you say. There should be goals and there should be goals for the home team as well. So that's my second selection. Third and final now.
Yeah, I ended up going with Queen's Park Rangers to beat Cardiff. Again, it's a little bit of a price play because I had them priced up shorter than this, -104. This one's on the Wednesday, so the later game. Another side that are looking to bounce back from a defeat. Lost 3-1 at Luton at the weekend, and Mick Beale said it was a bad afternoon and has demanded a response here. So I'm expecting him to get one. Unbeaten in 5 prior to that game, and we're looking good. I think it was a little bit of a surprise that they were dismantled a little bit by Luton. I think they got bullied a little bit by the front two. Luton on their day are obviously a match for anyone, and they proved to be the case. They're in good form themselves, and proved to be the case at the weekend. So QPR, we've talked about them before, have kind of put a nice run of form together. And again, it's just one of those ones that sometimes you take, you know, the championships like that, isn't it? You know, to put a long, consistent run together is really tough. So it's just a case of more often than not, the sides that do well at the end of the season, the sides that can bounce back from that defeat and then start another little run as well. So they are 4th in the table. So not to be sniffed at. I'm sure they'd have taken that at this stage of the season, at the start of the season. And just 1 point off the top. It's concertinaed so much, hasn't it, that the top end of the table. Say, put a couple of results together now prior to the World Cup and we'll be looking very, very pretty. So they're there or thereabouts. And taking on this Cardiff side that lost their first game under Mark Hudson at the weekend, and they lost to bottom side Coventry. So that would have been a very much disappointing for them, having put a little run together under him since he took over. And I think sometimes with that, as we saw with Norwich, that 9 games unbeaten and then lost one and then lost another one. Sometimes that happens as well. So I'm hoping that's going to go this way, that QPR bounce back and Cardiff obviously continue a little bit of a mini slide. So QPR are a strong side at home. Obviously got Elias Chair, who's one of the best, most creative players in the division. He's in good form at the moment. So I was tempted to go down the route of potentially putting him forward as a goal scorer. But I think the price for QPR straight win is good enough. I say as far as they're concerned, it's 1 defeat in 6 At home, unbeaten in the last four at home, and they've won two of the last three. So it's a tough place to go to, compact, old-fashioned little ground, but good atmosphere, and obviously, especially with their side playing well, and as we've seen recently, a very tough place to go and get a result. So although Cardiff have won a couple recently, their away form isn't the best. They've lost four of seven away, and they've not got a very good record here either. They've lost five of their last six visits. So at a nice price, I'd say just short of even money, I'm going to take QPR on here for a straight up win at odds minus 104.
Lovely stuff. My third and final pick before I run through the other games in the Championship is Sunderland plus a quarter plus 0.25 at minus 105 as they travel to Blackburn. Now, there is a very weird statistical quirk at the moment going on with Blackburn Rovers, where I'm going to count. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games this has lasted for, dating back to a 1-0 defeat on the 27th of August at home to Stoke City, where Blackburn have gone loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I'm annoyed that I'm actually getting against them, because in my mind, stupid statistical quirks like that have to end at some point, and you should be betting on a win. But I think at the prices, it is worth siding with Sunderland to continue that with the with the added insurance of the plus a quarter, meaning that if they do lose by just if they do draw the game, then you get half of your bet as a winner and half of it is void. Blackburn are just a very strange team. The data suggests that they're running very hot. Again, they won a game against Middlesbrough on Saturday, which was just such a weird game. Now, they went to Middlesbrough. They scored two goals, one of which was an unbelievable hit from Sam Gallagher. And that's not the first time this season that in a Blackburn game, they have relied on an incredible strike from one of their players for the goal to win the game. And that just isn't necessarily sustainable. Kaminski made plenty of saves in the second half to keep Borough out. And, Borough probably created the better chances on the day. However, Blackburn come away with a really good, really big 3 points away from home. Yeah. But I'm not convinced the performance levels are that of a team who are a top six team. And that's where they sit at the moment. I think the market overrates them. Sunderland, on the other hand, had a brilliant 2-1 win at home to Wigan. Their away form this season is fine. It's good enough to side with. They've beaten Reading 3-0 on the road. They've beaten Stoke 1-0 and they've beaten Bristol City 3-2. So they've beaten three teams who are pretty decent and got a tool draw at Watford. They have no issues travelling at all. And I just think that they are, Tony Mowbray is doing a great job there. They've got plenty of very good players, Patrick Roberts, Jack Clark, Alex Pritchard, these are guys who are going to cause problems for the home team in Blackburn. And I'm just looking to basically take on Blackburn wherever possible at the moment, because I'm pretty convinced that that ball is going to stop flying in the back of their net because they aren't creating chances that regularly. Yeah. So that is my third pick, which means...
It was interesting because I saw that, and I know how you work, George, with your... like going against these silly trends that aren't really a thing, yes. Like not playing the early kickoff and those yes. sort of things that are, say, going against that. And
that's my sort of that's my least favorite, that one.
Yeah, well, there we go. So I know like those are the new manager bounce and all those sort of things. So when I saw that you'd put that forward, I hadn't really seen all of it. My hunch was actually going to go that they're going to break that cycle. So I'm actually going to go for that. So, but
I know
the first goal, I think, was an own goal at the weekend as well, wasn't it? So they had an own goal and a screamer to win that. And obviously I was on both teams to score no there as well. So it was like,
I can guarantee you if I'm right, and if Sunderland do beat Blackburn on Saturday, then I'm going to start taking on this stupid trend every week. It cannot continue. It's a funny thing where I know some people will disagree watching this, but a lot of, stats-based stuff is obviously, very important when looking at betting, but sequences.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people seem to think that a sequence is a reason to bet on something happening. It's like, Arsenal, Spurs. Spurs haven't beaten Arsenal in however many, or City haven't beaten Liverpool in however many. I've chosen two examples there that went that way. But like, if you have a ridiculously long sequence which is completely at odds with the genuine odds of something happening, then short it, go the other side, because that sequence will end. It's not a reason to bet on. If you toss a coin and there are 10 heads, you wouldn't bet on heads the 11th sign, would you? So, you know, that's the theory anyway. Bit of betting theory. Let's share the picks. So these are our, that's the handicappers table. We are looking for the EFL picks. Interesting.
Can't believe we gave our PA the day off today to do this.
I know. There we go. Midweek.
There we go.
There we go. Thank goodness for that. sorry about the technical glitches there. You can see there, Jack, with Swansea to beat Reading at -108, over 2.5 goals, and West Brom Bristol City at -134, and QPR to beat Cardiff at -104. I've taken Sunderland on the Asian handicap +0.25 at -105. Grady Diangana, the goal scorer this week, at +350 for West Brom against Bristol City. We'll have to talk to Jack with the graphics about just West Bromwich. We need Albion in there, or WBA. West Brom fans will be livid about that. And then we've got Stoke -0.75 at home to Rotherham at +123.
Yeah. I was in the car a lot. Sorry, this is the last thing I'll jump in with. I was in the car a lot.
It's good.
On Saturday, do a lot of driving, and I had my usual sports station on, and I heard a Blackburn fan dial in actually, and on the back of that win, call for a new manager. Said they need to get rid of fifth in the table.
I would really like to speak to that person, because even though I completely disagree, I think he probably gets football it is if you understand that, it's interesting. It's like Gary McSheffrey at Doncaster this week has been sacked, and that the owner came out and said the results have been fine, but the performances haven't been, and we need to make a change, which is progressive in my eyes, even though I know a lot of people, you never want to campaign for a manager to get sacked.
No. In very brief form, that's what he said. The caller said, he said, I'm watching it and I'm seeing it, and it's not for me. We're lucky.
Interesting.
We're massively overperforming, and we're in a really false league position based on what we're doing.
It's funny because a lot of people will listen to that and laugh, and I reckon he's pretty bright.
Including the hosts.
Interesting. Love it. Let's run through the prices of the other games we haven't mentioned this midweek. We've got Norwich hosting Luton. Norwich -127. Luton +320. Luton are a big price there in my mind. I've got to say they are absolutely flying. Interesting. I actually backed Luton to win the league this morning at a massive price.
Oh, no, you stole my thunder.
Anyway, Swansea, and we've done Swansea Reading. Huddersfield +165, Preston +155. We've got Coventry +163, hosting Sheffield United at +148. Birmingham +250, hosting Burnley at -103. Top of the league, Burnley. Now, good for those who listen to our future show at the beginning of the season, up the Clarets. Blackpool -103. We'll have about 15 players suspended after three of them got sent off on Saturday. Hosting Hull at +250. Wigan +180. Hosting Middlesbrough at +138. Millwall hosting Watford. Millwall +143. Watford +170. So there you have it. There you have all the games this midweek. You're going to a game. I am not, sadly, but I'll be watching from the comfort of my own home. Do go and check out the app Because We Win Twitter account on social media, where you can find all the different sports handicappers tweeting all the different tips from their shows. Loads of great shows. Another unbelievable golf winner for the Golf Lads. I just, in the same thing I was saying earlier, and I said this to you weeks ago, I was like, I'm not going to start following a tipster off the back of a couple of big wins, because variance means that there has to end. You know, they've got to have a losing run. Otherwise, they'll be winning it. And then ever since then, they keep banging in the winners. So I don't know what
I'm
doing.
Very impressive.
Paid for that new hoodie of yours, I think, didn't it?
I know. Drove this painting, everything. So all bought and paid for by the Golf Lads. Cheers, lads.
Yeah, cheers, guys. I might have to hop on soon. But and so check that all out there, and do subscribe to the Bet Rivers YouTube channel, where you can find all of the preview content up there. And do comment, positive or negative. We're happy to take it on the chin. If, like me, you have a bit of a poor week, we are still in profit. We've got loads of good futures bets where the positions are good. One week, we should go back through our futures bets and see how they're all getting on as well.
Yeah.
When we've got a bit of time. Hopefully they will come in. Enjoy the action. Enjoy the football this midweek. Loads of stuff. There's obviously Premier League action as well. So check out the EPL show too. And we will see you ahead of the weekend with another weekend show coming out later on in the week. Enjoy the football. Hopefully a couple of winners in there. And as is the case, please. And thank you to Jack as well, I should say. Thank you, mate. And yeah, do ensure that, as always, you are gambling responsibly.